podcast has changed my life.
Matt, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
I'm in the Daily Mail this week. I'm all over it.
I saw this.
Me and Denya. It's my 15 minutes of gossip trash fame.
Totally.
And it's so exciting. But also, do you know what? I don't know how much you read the story. Long story short.
Mm.
I did a joke years ago and Grant Daniel was in the audience. And then I saw him after and we said hi or whatever. But like very jokingly. Mm. And I told that story on a podcast.
But hang on, what happened during the show?
I just said, I did a joke, a reference to him smoking meth.
Yeah. Okay. Which
and then
is true?
Well, this is a thing because I've had his wife in my DMs this week and we've been messaging. We get on quite well now.
And that's your attempt to ingratiate yourself to Grant Denyer, is to slide into the DMs of his beloved.
No, she messaged me.
Sure.
That would be crazy to slag him off. Then exactly. I get in. I'm like, baby, you got to leave this dude.
But then hang on. He has some sort of history with drugs to set the scene here, right?
Well, I don't know if it's a rumor or whatever. I don't think it's a rumor. Look, I don't know, but it's
I googled it. He was in hospital because he was coming off like pain medication. I think he was addicted to pharmaceuticals.
Oh, well, she said that it's all in. She was like, the magazines make up all this bullshit. That's what she said to me when we were messaging. And
I'm
googling
it.
Totally. But anyway, it was in the news at the time, I think, when I made the stand-up joke.
He's been open about his past addiction to painkillers, revealing he became hooked on the drugs while recovering from a monster truck accident that left him with a broken back in 2008. I remember one night I left my house in my undies to go get some scotch. I don't know how that relates to the thing before, but you know how Google kind of has a relevant quote out of an article. And this is a relevant quote from your article. The AdelaideNow.com.au has a story on this.
They've
so it's not just Daily Mail. It's picked up.
Dude, it's moving around the place.
So then you have just gone on a podcast.
Well, there was this podcast interviewing comedians, I guess for Adelaide Fringe or something.
Gotcha,
and
okay.
The guy just asked me a few questions.
Mm.
What's
That's
the
pretty
weirdest
standard question. Like, have you ever done a joke where someone's in the crowd or whatever?
Exactly. And then I quickly tell this story. The story can't go for more than 13 seconds.
13 seconds.
And then it becomes this news story. And it's like,
oh my
and
God.
Then I got sent it.
Zero
the next
to
day.
Daily Mail in 13 seconds.
I know. That's the title of my second job. I'm doing two shows now at Comedy Festival. This is the second one. But anyway, then I have to. I've been messaging his wife now, which is
so
like the worst.
She hit you up. So then let's have a look. Adelaide Fringe Festival comedian. So there's some promo there for the advertiser. Confronted by Grant Denyer over drug joke. So she's seen this and she's gone, God, we don't want our family, particularly my beautiful husband, to be perceived as someone
my
who can't
beautiful,
take a joke.
Small husband.
Exactly. Is he here? Is he in the room? Is he not here? Is he doing drugs? Is he kind of lost in the drugs? You know what I mean?
Is he in the monster truck?
Yeah, monster
Why
truck.
Was he
probably
in
just,
the monster
it was
truck?
Probably just a normal car. It was like a normal van. He's like, fuck, I broke my back in a monster truck. My lord,
no,
doc. You should have
reporter,
seen how huge it was.
The doctors that pulled him out were like, in comparison, it must be a monster truck.
We've seen the photos. Unless there was some weird change of perspective, some sort of app filter that we've never heard of, that was a monster truck and a half, surgeon.
It's the funniest way to get hooked on painkillers, a monster truck accident.
That should be the headline.
That really should be the headline. Anyway, so she's seen it, and then she was like, Sam, I need more information about this confrontation. We're fielding calls.
Oh,
people
my
are
God,
emailing
yeah.
us. We need to respond. She was like getting on the back foot, and she's like, please tell me when the confrontation happened. And then she said, Grant, it's not like – wait, let me read it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, maybe I shouldn't. She was so nice. I do like her.
Oh, give
actually,
us the
no,
gist.
There's nothing bad. Yeah. We're like on quite good terms, actually.
Exactly. Maybe too good terms, you could argue.
Yeah, totally.
Inappropriate amount of terms.
Yeah, I don't think he knows we're messaging. And he would hate this.
He probably can't pick up her phone to check what's on her phone because he's the size of a phone.
That's it. It's too big. He doesn't have the strength.
How many more of these do you reckon we can do?
Oh, it would be like him picking up like a normal phone for him is like a fridge for everyone else. You know?
Exactly.
It's just impossible.
When fridges came out with like the internet on it, he's like, what do you mean? The phone's already a fridge. I don't get why that's good new technology.
Okay. She goes, oh, yes. We have no recollection of this happening at all. We have to now address this. So can you please share with me the location, date, and name of the show, please? And then she said, people joke about us, about this and many other great mag stories we've had over the years. We normally laugh at it. We get the humor, which I liked.
Oh, that's nice. So that's cool because that means that she cares about what you think of her. That's kind of her trying to put out the fire. She would have presumed, because she's a pro by now, that you know, this is all a bit of a beat up. And that you're not mad, but, you know, you could be still kind of fuming from this confrontation. So she's putting out that fire. But then I love how just, like, pro she is. She's just like, give us the date, give us the information, and then we'll take it from here. We know what to do when we get calls from the press.
Dude, totally. And I sent back the soppiest reply.
Like what?
I was like, I'm a, like, big, oh, fan
you,
of-
a big fan of your husband, but even a bigger fan of you, my lord.
Well, I thought about doing that because she's got heaps of followers. She's got like 100,000 followers. So I was like, she, I think, is famous as well.
What does she do? Can I guess what she does?
I don't know, but let's have a look. Yeah, you have some guesses.
I'm going to guess that she has a podcast where she talks about wellness, and she's got a book about like techniques for keeping fit, and she seems to have an interest in yoga.
Oh, dude, you're pretty close.
Yes.
She has a podcast
called
It's All True Podcast.
Okay.
Which I don't know what that's a... It's her and Denya.
Oh, right, okay.
So they do a podcast together. That's quite nice.
Mm.
She's a TV producer.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. And then she has a YouTube channel called Mummy Time TV, which I think she's trying to pitch like a show to get off.
Mummy Time TV. God, I should have picked that. But can I say that's just wrong? I had her pegged as, you know, a celeb's wife, classic kind of yoga wellness person. But no, she's a TV production person. She's
that's
trying to
how
get
they met.
The ground,
she was married.
Surely. Was she married? How do you know this?
She was. He was on I'm a Celebrity a few years
ago.
Oh,
my God.
And
what?
He revealed.
Her husband?
No, she was married to her ex-husband when he met her and they started having a fling.
So she worked on I'm a Celebrity?
I have no idea. No,
was
but
she
Grant
one of the
was
challenges?
On. No.
So I kissed this beautiful lady. He's like, I don't get why this is a weird one.
Break up her marriage? That would be a great,
yeah, exactly.
A great challenge.
Do you want to put your hand in a thing of spiders or do you want to become the reason for a broken home and emotional damage?
Well, she was. I don't know if she was on it. He was on it. He told the story.
Yeah, but what's that? Oh, he told the story then about.
That's how that story has come out. But anyway, she's cool. I sent back a very.
Now you're deep in Grant Denyer gossip. You're like, yeah,
dude. I know.
Okay,
I've been,
don't you know? 2 seasons ago on the Celebrity on episode.
I've been
talking.
See, I've been talking about Denyer so much. I didn't even know he hosted Family Feud anymore. But that's like a big gig that he does now.
Yeah, that's what I know him from.
Oh, you don't know him from The Weather?
Oh, back in the day, like, but no offense to weathermen, you know, they're a dime a dozen, these guys. They're interchangeable to some degree. He was pretty a long-standing one.
And that was
his
big,
Family
like,
Feud
people were watching Really? He's Family Feud guy?
Yeah, he then went on to be kind of like a, now he's in a stable of, like, top-tier TV hosts, I would say.
I would say there's almost no one bigger.
Well, there's
in
a lot
terms
of people
of
bigger. That's another one, thank you. Yeah. I think he's up there, maybe with Wilco, your mate.
Oh, Wilkins.
Oh, but he's a bit more specific, I suppose.
Yeah, but like Wilkins couldn't host. I would say it's him and the vet.
Sonia Kruger.
And Osha.
Osha is up there. Osha may be number one.
Osha, yes, Sonia.
Osha and Sonia are up top. Then I think we have a second tier where we've got Denya. And who's your other one?
Maybe the vet. Chris
the
Brown.
Vet. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But these
he
are
does,
like,
these are, a celebrity.
They're just presenters, hosts. Like, they have no other talent.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Denya can drive a monster truck. Not very well, but like.
And the other one's a vet. Well, okay. Yeah, it's like one of the most difficult things to be. No other skills, these fucking morons.
These fucking losers, this guy. He just knows how to, you know, save a dog's life. But other than that, no, I mean in like the entertainment field.
Yes, totally. So these are hosts. But I think he's a very good host of Family Feud. I like the guy.
I think he's funny. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Are you going, what are you going to do from here?
Well, I just hope, I want to collaborate with Grant, I think. Mm. I think that would be ideal. No, well, I smoothed it all over with his wife, said I'm a big fan. Mm. This is the story. Sensational.
How do you know that she's smooth? What?
She sent me some pictures.
Okay, interesting.
No, she was like, she love-hearted my message.
Is that it?
Yeah, and then said, okay, no worries, good. XXX. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. But, that's affection. Did you follow her?
Yeah.
Did she follow back?
Oh, I think she followed me back. Followed me the day. I think she followed me first.
Oh, to initiate contact.
So she could message me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's not bad. See, this is what happens. You know, you go on a podcast, you make a little joke, then you're all of a sudden Grant Denyer's wife's following you. Like it's all you know.
But slow I want to get Denyer to follow me. Now, but anyway, I think it's all blown over. But I would be upset if Daniel was forever upset with me.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like people around his height are often throwing tantrums. So I think he would make an effort to distinguish himself from that, and would be quite kind of even tempered.
Think he doesn't want to get confused as like a toddler?
Exactly. I think if he was too cranky, people would be like, "It's not a toddler over there. Oh my god, or is it a man?"
Have you met him? Like, how short is he?
Look, all I know about him is that he's short. This is the trouble with these guys.
Yeah, people say he could be like 5'10".
He probably is just like normal height, but like has a go-to thing. And once you're known as a thing, it's like you're known for doing a show where Grant Denyer was there. It's like you don't want to let go of that. Like that becomes your thing forever.
Well, it gives you something, you know.
Yeah, but
something
to
talk about at all times.
Exactly, and you never want to let that go, and that becomes the thing that defines you. Kind of like this thing with your show with Grant Denyer there. It's going to be your defining thing, the way that people perceive you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, as the guy that took down Denyer.
Well, not took down, just kind of referenced him once, and then he was upset with you, and like that's kind of going to be your defining thing.
I don't think it'll be a defining thing, but I think it will make up, it'll be part of the rich tapestry that shapes who I am and how people know me. But Denyer, so he was a... He was a car driver, and I know we made fun of that.
Oh, was he?
He was a race car driver.
Okay, like, that makes it a bit more sense.
Drove VX supercars.
Why he was in a monster truck and why he's so small. Only small guys can fit in those cars.
Dude, that's what I was going to say. The tiny guys have to get in the cars. So he's got a bit, and you know he then bought a house in, this is how much he loves motor racing.
You know everything about him.
Dude, bought a house in Bathurst, set up when he was doing breakfast radio, set up a studio out there.
God, okay. That's not too bad. I like the idea that, like, you know, because sports people are often jocks in school and they play sports in schools because the best sports people, they start at a young age. And generally, at least in Australia and definitely in America, these sporty guys, they're the cool guys in the schools. And they're the jocks and they get the girls and they're big and they're strong and they're tough and they're fast and we love them. But then small guys like Denyer, they're looking around, they're like, God, I can't do this physically. I'm not going to need a machine. I'm not going to need to augment my physical capabilities with some sort of extra metal and engines and stuff. And they squeeze into a car and then they start practicing.
He's like the little guy in, like, is it Star Wars? When there's like the big robot walking and then there's a guy in their head like with the levers.
Yeah, he'd love that. He'd love that just to be a bigger man, but he's controlling the man.
He's inside the big man.
Exactly. He's down at the Bathurst racetrack being like, do we have any big men that you can control from inside and just kind of walk around and go to school and like maybe even give someone a kiss? And they're like, no, just a car. He's like, that'll do.
Dude, maybe that's the future because humans are getting bigger and bigger, right?
Mm.
It's like apparently like 300 years ago, we're all like 5 foot or something, right?
Now totally.
We're huge. So that's
Jesus was a tiny guy.
How tall was Jesus?
They say like 4 foot or something.
No.
Well, shorter, yeah. It was like 2,000 years ago. They were tiny.
Imagine meeting Jesus now. He's 4 foot and he's like, I'm going to make water into wine. Small, dude.
I'm with you on like the feed the poor, but like, my God, you need a fucking snack, mate. You're malnourished. You look terrible.
Well, you'd be trying to spread his message and be like, you know, Jesus? Yeah, real short guy. Real. Never wears shoes and he's tiny.
Trying to like lead the crowd. They're like, everyone's like, where is he? We don't see this guy.
It's like he tries to, because now you'd have to do so much PR, like every show, panel show you'd have to go on, they'd have to like prop him up on a seat.
Exactly. He's in a big crowd trying to like spread the good news. It's like, I've got some bad news for you, mate. You're fucking tiny. You're small as hell.
But I've got some good news. It's some platform shoes in the bag. Pop them on.
No wonder all the fishes and the loaves of bread went a long way. Like, he didn't make more magically. It's just everyone was tiny and they only wanted a little skerrick of it.
Dude, absolutely. That's what, yeah, they don't think, no one talks about, that's so crazy. He was 4 foot. Anyway, Denya's probably a bit more.
And a lot like Jesus in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, I will follow him to the end of my showbiz career. Anyway, I'm just saying, the future is these tall television hosts. Denya, so tiny, maybe he's looking, if he lives for a really long time, they could create a big TV host that's normal size.
Yes.
And then he goes inside, drives from the inside, and he still gets to do his love, which is hosting TV shows.
That'd be awesome. Like, and might be already happening. Like, imagine if one day, you know, Tom Gleason is hosting Hard Quiz and he turns around and there's Denya in there. It's like, it's been Denya the whole time.
Fuck, that's really good.
But then also
that's
maybe...
really, really good.
What if, like, I think Denya is like Leighton Hewitt. Because you know how...
I think of them very similar, right? They kind of look the same in my head.
Totally. And like generally hosts of things, unfortunately still, I think they're more often men. And I think it's partly because people kind of want or expect, they maybe don't even want it, but they've come to expect from that just being how it's done. They are like a commanding presence who's kind of in charge and it makes you comfortable about the presentation, whether it's a TV show or a live show kind of going well. And like tallness we associate with kind of that commanding presence. And I think, you know, often tall men will be the host of something, but then comes in this short guy, this tiny little guy.
This little, the smallest man, Jesus size.
And it's, and he's like up, you know, at the net. He's volleying. He's like a serve and volley guy. He's like got different skills. He's zipping and zapping. He's running quickly back and forth between the Family Feud desks. And it's like, we haven't seen this before. But pretty soon we move on and then there's, you know, the greats come in, like your Osher Ginsbergs or Ginsberg.
So he's like your Novak.
Yeah, I think.
Are we still doing the Leighton Hewitt analogy?
We are. So, like, because Hewitt was like number one for a little bit there in like 2001, but was quickly surpassed by
Federer. He won two slams, though. Nothing to sneezed at.
Fantastic. And always kind of was never out of it, you know what I mean? A hard fighter, hard worker.
We love that, Australian. Racist. Didn't we? He was racist.
Well, I was looking up recently, apparently, you know, Novak.
Yeah.
Was in a racist incident when he was 17. He was playing a black guy, an American black guy in tennis, and the umpire was black. And he said something along the lines of, like, the umpire made a call he didn't agree with, and he was like, well, you're friends with the other guy. And implied they were mates because of their race. And then the game was immediately cancelled. The umpire was like, that's it. No, you can't
really
do that. Like, that's a...
That's crazy confidence as a 17... Like, I didn't even understand racism at 17.
Well, I think that's a lot of racism. It's not complex. It's just like you.
No, but
like
I hadn't even had anything explained to me.
Yeah,
you know,
but I think
like
that's
there was.
What leads to the
wouldn't
racism.
Have even known that black people might be friends.
Really? I don't know. You see music videos; they're hanging out. Like,
but you see white people. I mean, you see white and black people hanging out.
But
Novak's also from Serbia, and I don't know, there's probably not a lot of black people there.
No, exactly. And he was young, so I don't bring this up to shame him necessarily. I think he did his time with that.
I think he's got other issues to worry about at the moment, shamed publicly.
But Leighton Hewitt in 2000 or something did a similar thing.
What?
There was a black lines person, and I think he was playing a black player, and he said something that implied that the lines person was... friends with the black player, and there were no repercussions because, you know, 20 years earlier, 15 years earlier or whatever.
So they didn't cancel
more tolerance
the game for Hewitt.
For Hewitt, no.
It's also like these guys have got they're tennis players. How many tennis players are friends with the linesman? Surely not. They were not, like, surely none is the answer.
The
it's like
the
they're
US
the nerd.
Exactly. Hey, that linesman, want to get a beer at the pub afterwards? We'd love to have a few beers with that linesman.
With the linesman. Hey,
really
mean
like
a couple
way.
Of the...
When I make the smallest mistake possible, you go, ah! You scream at me. I love that about you. I'd love to hang out and pick your brain, find out more about you.
Me and a couple of the ball boys are going out to a steakhouse after, if you want to tag along.
Oh, please. We need some ball boys there. They're going to get ID'd. They're not going to be let in, but I'm going to get them into the VIP area because I need to know what makes them tick.
Anyway, yeah, that's crazy. The man, they're racist. What were we talking about?
Well, I don't know. I feel like it's very funny as well because I know that there's been a few things that have gone on with you this week. One of them is that you did a podcast and a story was in the Daily Mail about you and Grant Denyer. The other one is that you have COVID-19.
I currently have COVID-19. That's correct. We should have started with this.
Well, it's funny to be...
Can we put this at the start of the podcast?
Yeah, yeah. It is weird that that's more on your mind, you being in a tabloid as having some sort of association with Grant Denyer, than your lungs filling up with water and potentially...
Dude, they're not filling up. It's like, it's more just like there was already fluid in there, I think. Yeah. That's what I think it was. The worst part about COVID-19, which I currently have, is...
We've been saying it's very funny to refer to yourself as having COVID-19.
I have COVID-19. I've been telling you. I'm not. When people are like, "Have you tested positive?" I say in full, "I've tested positive for COVID-19." It's the most famous disease.
I have COVID-19 right now.
I've never had a disease so famous.
Totally. Oh, I don't know.
Can I say the flu was way worse?
The flu is, I suppose, not as famous. It's just not in the news as much. You know what I mean?
You
people
don't
know
hear
about
it. Man.
It's more like famous on the streets.
Or maybe,
you know, people
cancer.
Talk about it at school. Cancer is up there. But
cancer's
cancer,
pretty
again,
famous.
But it's not in the news. It's not like, it's just not,
it's
as much on TV.
It's kind of in the news. You know what's
every now and
AIDS?
Then, every now
dude,
and then there's
AIDS
a cricket game.
AIDS is famous.
Well, it was famous.
Kind was it of. Bigger? Do you reckon it was bigger than COVID?
No, because I think it only affected certain people. It affected gay people way more, so it was kind of written off in the early days when they didn't know about it as being related to being gay. So then, you know, they're like a minority, so it wasn't taken as seriously.
But then do you think it was... I think it's been spoken as it's kind of disappeared from public view and it's kind of maybe affected, even though I think there's still, I don't know, 40 million people that have it around the world.
Yeah.
Like, I think COVID will disappear. People will stop talking about it. AIDS, I think, lingers because
I
of
wonder,
the gay thing.
And because it's like got, it sounds like different, like AIDS. And when we logged on, so when we were like old enough to start having memories and start watching shows and stuff, late 90s, I think AIDS was then starting to be joked about a little bit. Because like edgy comedy was a bit in. It was kind of like an edgy thing. It's like, I hope you get AIDS. You know, that was kind of like a thing in like South Park or whatever. I remember Family Guy had a bit where a doctor sings, "You've got AIDS. You've got the AIDS."
Really?
Do you remember
You've got
this?
The AIDS.
Yeah, it was like a funny...
That's my bit. That's my COVID-19 bit, basically.
Well, but it I suppose it feels a bit more edgy because maybe it has this association with gay people, but then also I feel like it's just the word, like AIDS. Whereas COVID-19 kind of sounds
a bit
more futuristic and less like...
COVID-19, I hate the number in it. Yeah, it feels so... like just... It feels like they haven't named... You know when they haven't named a hurricane yet?
Yeah.
And then it's like someone's got to be like, it's called...
It feels like a placeholder.
Tracy or something. Yeah, it's like, when are we going to get to the real name call it... Because Corona, we had one, actually. It was called coronavirus.
Yeah.
That was fine.
No, that's, but that's a general kind of catch-all. That's like a descriptor of like a bigger category of viruses. Hey, when you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, imagine if you looked into the future and you saw that in the same week you would be featured in the Daily Mail in association with Grant Denyer and you would contract COVID-19. You'd be like, well, that is the most futuristic shit. It's like, it sounds like the career's going all right, but COVID-19, like, I don't like the sound of that.
You're like, let's talk more about that COVID-19 thing. What is that one? And then, but then if
you
read...
Did Grant Denyer give me the COVID-19?
That's why Grant Denyer's angry at me. That's why there was a confrontation.
Exactly.
But COVID-19 sounds way... Even if you wrote down what happened, even now, I feel like I'm trapped in my home till Sunday. Mm. If you told me that 5 years ago, I'd be like, holy shit, but it's actually fine.
Yeah. I mean, what have you been doing? Just watching shows?
Watching
You're
shows.
Watching Question Time yesterday, which is...
Yeah, I was talking to you when I was watching Question
Time. God, that's a low. I just call you and you're like, yeah, watching Question Time. Really? You don't got Binge yet, mate?
Dude, I do have binge, and I watch Mr. Inbetween on that. But there's only so many things you can watch.
Yeah.
Then it's also like...
You want some reality.
Man, it's also like easy because when you have COVID-19, and hopefully you get it one day to experience this, Tom, you kind of do get quite tired and you just kind of sit on the lounge and you drift in and out.
When you have COVID-19.
And when you have COVID-19, one of the world's famous.
Dude, we were
going to
fucking do this podcast last night. And I was like, you know, I called you in the day and I'm like, yeah, let's do it the Savo. Like, if you're feeling up for it, I'll you know, touch base, like, the Savo. And I text you and you're like, oh, yeah, nah, I'm feeling a bit gassed. It's like, you're not gassed. You've got COVID-19. It's not the same as just being a bit gassed after a long day.
No, dude, I've just been working hard. I've been putting it in, you know.
Yeah, a bit tired. Yeah, a bit gassed.
Bit tired, mate. Burning the candle at both ends, you know. No, ridiculous. I am, but it is time. But question time's been perfect for that because you pop it on, you drift in and out, you wake up and they're still talking. You kind of don't miss anything, really. You get to see the Prime Minister because you only ever see the Prime Minister in like sound bites. You see him on the news, but then you get to see him like talk normally.
And he's great.
He's very good. He's charismatic. He's impressive. They're all good, to be honest. Him and Albo, I'm like, you guys should team up. You guys are great.
I mean, I was kidding with the great, but yeah, I definitely have watched that and thought like, fuck, it's tough. Because I feel like you watch the sound bites. I don't know about you. Part of you thinks like, I could do this. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem that difficult. Time. But yeah, when you see him in the parliament...
It's awesome.
Getting asked questions and getting argued with and getting yelled at. It's like, fuck. That's
and they're naughty.
Pretty high stress.
But to people's face, they just say the meanest things. They'll be like, Mr. Speaker, I think you'll find that the member for Warringah is nothing but a lying, fraudulent disgrace to the Australian name. And everyone like cheers and shit. It's like, imagine if you said that to someone in public at the pub.
Well, you can't get sued for defamation in there. So it's like... this weird exception where you can say whatever you want without getting sued.
What? So you can... Is that why...
parliamentary privilege.
I thought that it was related to expensing.
No, that's when they go in and they can say whatever the fuck they want and you can't get sued. So they all have like... Often they won't say shit until they get into parliament and then parliament sits again and they're like, he's a fucking psychopath. And it's like, you were talking good stuff before, but now you're saying it.
No, it is cool.
You can't get sued.
I like when they bring props in. Like, I remember, obviously, when Pauline Hanson dressed in a burqa, that was so exciting. Very offensive, but like, oh my God. Got tongues wagging.
What point was she trying to make again?
What was
it's one of those ones. It's like, does she even know what she's saying? She's just like, so see, isn't this crazy? It's not what I'd usually do.
I think she
it's
was like, just...
Yeah, you look...
I think she just wanted, like... someone to be like, well done for buying a... Like, where'd you get the burqa? Like,
she
wanted some kind of... Or she wanted to be like, see, they look... Maybe she was going for the positive thing. She was like, they look pretty good, huh?
I don't think she was going for the positive thing. I don't know exactly what she was trying to say, but I don't
think
she
was trying to... Or was she trying to say that it's like you would know who she was?
I think she was
trying to say
that... Because you
couldn't see her.
Yeah, it's impractical or something, but it's like... but. We know who's under there.
She went and sat at her designated seat.
Exactly. You've got a designated seat, first of all. And second of all, who the fuck else in here would pull this stunt? Like, it's clearly you.
Or when someone bought, maybe it was Scott Morrison. Or no, Tony Abbott or someone bought in a lump of coal. That was cool.
Oh,
I
classic.
Like that.
Yeah, I forget who that was. I think maybe
to bring in, I mean, they should do more of that or dress up or like
I don't know. Flamboyant. I find the whole thing annoying because it does remind me of like the
debaters. This is why
in
you
school.
Don't watch it.
It's,
I watch
so it's debater energy, and I don't like all the jeering. It's like posh guys going, "Oh yes, well that was a fantastic burn. Like oh, he got him." Oh, and it's like, oh, this is.
But can like I say, as someone
all like children,
as someone who doesn't really know what's going on, if there wasn't the cheering or the booing. I wouldn't know if it was a good point or a bad point. I wouldn't even know when the point's over. I would be like, they're just talking in a monologue.
You don't know whether it's good or not based on the fucking cheering either, because it's like either people on the opposite team or on the team of the person speaking that are cheering. So that's misleading cheering. We need objective people
cheering.
No, but
at least I know that they're getting to the end. You know, like otherwise I would have no idea.
This is a low bar for what you want from our parliament.
Tom.
Like, yes, no, it is good that the jeering signifies when someone's finished a sentence. This is actually very helpful for me because I have absolutely no comprehension skills whatsoever.
Tom, I have COVID-19 and it's really affecting my ability to think. It is actually, I can't stress how tired I am. And that is really one thing that I didn't really think about.
It's so funny to insist on still doing a podcast when you have COVID-19.
No, because you don't feel that bad. You go through phases with COVID-19 and it's like and you feel good, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to do something, and then you hit the wall, and then you get... But dude, I've given it to COVID-19 to my girlfriend.
Yeah.
That was a bad mistake, because she's way sicker than I am.
There's two of you with it. Now it's COVID-38. You can use that one if you want.
Well, I'm going to go burst down the door.
Jules,
this will cheer you up.
Yeah. All right, so... Okay, I don't know how your maths is. If it's as good as me knowing when sentences end, we're fucked here, but hear me out.
You can't find anywhere to live at the moment?
I'm hoping to... I'm maybe almost in the news again. My whole... we're in the fucking news, guys. That's
no, are thing. You... Wait, are you back in the news?
I've had a few journalists hit me up again.
Dude, because the last podcast was a wonderful little breakdown of the real estate rental saga. And are you telling? And we were joking about what's next. Have you stumbled upon what's next?
Well, it's still fucking happening. Basically, what happened is, well, I mean, the first thing to say is that now it's less funny, because now I do actually need a place. I was looking for quite a while because I knew that my tenancy was going to wrap up because my sister's moving overseas. So when I had like a month to look, yeah, I was being pretty selective, and I was like asking the landlords for references and stuff, kind of joking around, and knew I had that time to play with. But now I've literally got to move out this weekend, so it's like actually quite stressful. And
but
then
also, if you're moving out this weekend, it's like, what, you can't move in anyway. You've left it so late.
Oh, no, but you can. That's the thing. And that's what's good, is because when you're a month out, when you apply for a place, you're less likely to get it because they want someone who moves in immediately, because then you'll start paying rent immediately.
Gotcha.
So the closer you get to the actual time where you want to move, the better an applicant you are, because, the
so when you can be like, hey, I can move in right now. They love that, exactly.
So basically, I decided with a friend to look for a place, and we applied for a place in Piemont, and... We offered $110 more than the asking price. Like, it was
now
a pretty
that's
good,
crazy. So you thought the place was undervalued?
It was undervalued, definitely. And also, there were like 20 people there, and this was like one of the last places that we'd looked at, and like it was kind of like a last ditch effort. And I'm like, fuck it. Also, like, that's similar cost to what I'd be paying if I went with a one bedroom.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
So I had some room to play with there, and yeah, I just fucking needed a place. But anyway, the real estate hit me up, and we were like texting because we submitted applications, and then he wanted a few more details from me, which is a good sign. I'd also called him, and we'd actually put in offers before we even inspected, because I saw the listing as soon as it came up and like called the real estate.
So basically, you've done everything a perfect applicant could do. You've offered you've made their life so easily. You've offered $110 above the asking price.
It's crazy. And so he then texts me going, yeah, he's like, can you send me a bank statement, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, are you going to ask me for a landlord reference? And I'm like, fuck, I've already applied. I'm like, God damn it, this was what I was fearing. And this is where, under some of the other videos, people have commented like, oh, you're going to have trouble getting future places. And I'm like, oh, no, I won't. Like, no one's
going to be that petty. But was the guy doing it with a cheek? Was it a wink? Like, was it like, ha ha ha,
well, this is
very
text.
Funny?
And I'm like, yeah, probably. Because he was like a young guy. He was probably like 25. And I'm like,
he reads pedestrian.
Guy.
He reads
exactly.
Junkie.
Yeah, he's on TikTok. And
he
it's
sees
like, okay.
you there. He's probably a fan. Well, actually, he's definitely not a fan. But like...
he's not a fan. But he's probably... I reckon for him, it would be a good story if he rented a place to the guy that was doing the landlord reference thing. If any community is talking about it, it would be real estate agents. So I feel like, yeah, it would just be like interesting for him. He doesn't care. So I replied saying, haha, nah, that hasn't worked out for me in the past. Like, cry laughing emoji, kind of joking around with him. Of course, if the landlord has one lying around, I wouldn't mind having a peek. And then he's like,
this is fun on a thread, you know, this is good.
I mean, yeah, at this point, I'm like, okay, this is okay. He's like, haha, no worries. I could always ask. To be clear, are you legitimately interested in securing this property? Which is a very fair question, I think, because like I was kind of trolling last time.
So yeah, I'm I don't like this at all. I think that's that's him already being like snarky, showing his hand.
Yeah, you think?
Maybe, because it's like if he, I totally get that first comment being like, "Ha ha ha, are you going to ask?" That's a bit of fun. It acknowledges the situation. It breaks the ice, if you will.
Yes, totally. Then, it's like now I know he knows.
Yeah. And then you can kind of all get on. But then this next one, be like, just to be clear, are you wasting our time or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair thing to ask, but if he was actually curious, but if he did think that I was legitimate and he's just kind of flexing his power, then that would be annoying. I had no choice other than to be suck-uppy. So I just said, yes, I had time to look around a few weeks ago. Now I need a place by this weekend. So very interested, exclamation mark. He's like, no problem. We should have approval shortly. So he's like, I'm going to approve you. That's what's implied there.
That's great news.
And I'm
but
like,
that also doesn't happen that quick, does it, normally?
Oh, so they often like they get back to you in like 3 or 4 hours after the inspection.
Wow.
Or they say they will. They say they can get back day of or maybe the next morning. So he said, yeah, either this evening or tomorrow morning. He was kind of enjoying the texts, I think. He was kind of enjoying being like the point man. I think he was quite a young guy. And then I'm like, incredible, thanks heaps. And then he's like, no worries. The next day we get an email saying approved. So we're
hallelujah.
Approved. Fantastic. And then
congrats,
I call him.
Tom.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Cheers. I call him. I'm like talking about because I need to, you know, figure out when exactly we can move in there and whether we can like sign the lease and get the keys in the next few days because I got to move my stuff on the weekend. And he's like, yep, that'll be fine. He, there's like something with the blinds where he's like, oh, yeah, we just need to fix up one thing with the blinds. And he had a conversation with my mate where he was like, doing a big show of, yeah, I'll sort that out. Don't worry, I'll sort that out.
Oh
I've got
God.
You. I'll sort that out. Like, he's loving being the man in charge. And then 2 hours later, he calls me back. And he's like, I'm sorry, I've got bad news, and I don't know why. But the owners have said that they want to look elsewhere.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? And he's like, the application has been removed.
Now, do you think... Because I've got a few theories of what could have happened here.
I'll read you the email, what he said. He said, strange turn of events. So he emailed me this as he was
strange
talking to me on the phone.
Maybe he's in your corner. He said,
I think
strange
he is.
Turn of events.
He said that he really tried. He's like, I've really, like, ultimately I work for the landlord, but I was asking them why and they didn't say anything. He said, strange turn of events. The owner has decided not to proceed with your application. I've asked for a reason why, and they told me we would like to continue our search. I've done my best to convince them, but their decision is final. I'm very sorry for this outcome.
Did you ask, you didn't get any knowledge from him, if the owners knew that you were that annoying TikTok rental guy?
Straight up. Because I was like a bit silent. I was a bit stunned on the phone. I'm like, what?
Wow. And he's like, you were shocked.
I was shocked. I was like...
you dropped the glass you were holding.
Yeah. I was also like, I knew it. You know what I mean? I knew it was too good to be true. Like it felt right. Like... Until it was locked in and we'd paid a deposit and signed the lease and got them paid the bond and stuff, I did feel like it, at any minute it could be taken away. And I was shocked, but then also kind of not shocked. But then I was like, why? And he was like, they just said they want to, what was the wording? Not see other people, but they wanted to continue their search. And I'm like, no other reasoning? Like, has any information? Because basically I knew that he knew that I was the landlord reference guy. So I'm like... Was any new information shared with them between the time when they approved it last time and then this decision? And he said no. And I'm like, is it because of the landlord reference thing? And he said, I don't know.
Oh, he said, I don't know. I mean, of course, yeah. But look, this is why whistleblowers don't come forward. Because of the repercussions. And it's like you can legislate to be like, you can't discriminate against, you know, age, sex, ethnicity, TikTok profiles as well, probably.
You can't have a law saying you're not allowed to discriminate against someone for being annoying, which is what I would need. I need a law against discriminating against annoyingness.
Because if I was the owner, there's not a chance in hell I'd give you the place.
No. There's a chance I'm going to fucking share your emails on TikTok.
Dude, also, if I was the landlord, if I was the agent, I might have done all of that just to fuck with you.
Well, that's the
and
real
just
thing
like lying about
me.
All that. Just,
exactly,
it just like made you lose 3 or 4 days of your life.
Exactly, because I was gonna go to 2 or 3 inspections the next that morning, which I missed because I thought I'd got a place. which I said to the guy, he's like, oh, sorry. And this is like exactly what happened to me the first time in the story where I got approved and then got denied. So that would be a funny troll if you were like, if in the real estate agent community, I'm like an asshole and they all think that it'd be funny to fuck with me. Then that's exactly what you'd do.
I mean, so where do we sit now in terms of like, because if you're going to be homeless, are you going to go back online with this latest chat? Because this guy would have known as well. He's yes. like, I can't give this guy the place, but if I play around with him, huge yeah. chance I end up on his TikToks and then probably bang on, you know, the Today Show again.
Well, I have deliberately at no point revealed anyone's actual identity, any of these real estate agents.
You could reveal his. I reckon he would love it.
Yeah, I think he would too, but then that makes me not want to do it. Like, I don't think he's the villain in this piece. If I had to guess, I don't think he's deliberately fucking with me. He seemed like he wanted to be cool and kind of, yeah, like liked the whole vibe. I reckon, yeah, it was just the landlords. I reckon they Googled me and were like, Siebes for this. Because it would be, you would be like, this
you
person
gotta get this stuff offline, Tom.
Seems annoying and they're...
And is annoying.
And is annoying. And like has said things like in some of the videos, I'm like, it's weird that it's a secret who the landlord is. Like it's a secret who you do business with. So that then if you're proposing a lease to this person, they're going to really like this person being me. They're going to look at who the landlord is and maybe like, you know, research into me and potentially do something about me. Like
I don't reckon, I reckon they just don't want you filming your dirty TikToks on their property. They're like, yuck, we'll have to get the place clean properly.
You reckon they're Instagram real people, these landlords?
Yeah, big time, big time. No, I reckon they're big still real on, they're on Vine still.
Oh, God.
So what, are you going to the media? Are they coming crawling?
Well, I've just done some social media posts. I just did another video about it, basically.
The content game.
Exactly, which is the only pro out of this, is that it is just a fucking... another stage in this whole saga that I've gotten myself
into.
But, dude,
this could go... Imagine if you become like Julian Assange. Yeah. And you have to sleep
trapped
in an embassy.
In the
like, no, there's nowhere
embassy.
Else for you to stay. You've got to go to the Ecuadorian embassy.
I can't stress how little I've done. I've just literally asked one real estate agent if it would be possible. Please, maybe a small amount of possibility that they would just ask the landlord for a reference from a previous tenant saying they're a good person. I didn't say I needed it. I didn't say it was a requirement. I just asked the question, immediate cancellation. And then not only from them, but other landlords have just heard that I made a request of that nature and have cancelled me as well. Like, it's... But I haven't done anything. I'm not Julian Assange. Julian Assange fucking revealed war secrets about the from Iraq, like video from planes, from military documents.
Yes,
he revealed
Tom.
Fucking the identity of spies across the world. He but influenced the fucking 2016 election. I asked Rain and Thorn one simple fucking request.
Tom, but there is a class war going on.
Is there?
Between the underclass, the working class, and the elite, many of whom own properties. We have a two-tier economy. People can't afford to live in the city, and that's the only place that there's jobs. You're the face of the movement. You're the one who stood up to the upper class and said, hey, something needs to change. Sometimes people don't want to become the hero. Sometimes that they have no choice.
I was trolling.
Sometimes the troll.
I've got a comedy
you're the
show
chosen
going up.
One.
What do I do with it then? What am I asking for?
I think you get shirts printed out and you try to start a march on Canberra.
It would be funny to, I mean, I joked about this a little bit when I did the Today Show of like if I got paid off, but like because a few people, as I said in the last one, have like hit me up being like, do you want to be the face of my app where we rate landlords or whatever? And it's like, not really. What would be the funniest way to try to commercialize this in the...
Dude,
like
at this point,
would be
it's
the
just
most
like
angry at.
If anyone just gave you a house, like that's all you need. Like
oh my
all you
God.
Need is like just a
if someone
to
gave
live.
Me. Oh no, no,
oh,
no. Like,
oh, you mean like
gave
you
me
get
a
whole
house? Imagine if someone gave me. I would say anything. I would like turn around. I'd do a press conference where I'm like, landlords are some of the best people. I myself am a landlord, and I would say to all the people out there, you can do it if you work hard. You save enough money, you can become a landlord, and it just feels better, and it is better. It makes you a better person.
But also to be like, if you're renting, just know that your landlord is always right and they're a better person.
Absolutely.
That's why they're the landlord.
They're
they have lord in their name.
Higher level.
They're a lord.
Yeah. Why
you're
would
scum.
We put... We
you have
all
to
know
pay them.
Our language has been passed down from geniuses like Shakespeare. Why would they, in the word landlord, put the word lord if these people weren't higher and better than you?
What
and
if their
made
house,
better decisions?
What if their house is in like the middle of the desert in South Australia?
That's a trick. Of course they do that. And then I do the press conference and they're like, yes, now I'll lead you to your house.
In the middle of lake air.
No.
No, if you would do it for a house, what about just an apartment in the inner city?
As in, I get to stay there for 6 months or?
You just get an application approved. Because at this point, you don't have anywhere to live.
Well, yeah, I do. I got an apartment.
When?
Yeah, I got approved.
Just then?
This morning.
Oh, congratulations. I'm clapping. That's such a bad end to the story. That's the worst end possible to the story.
No, it's a great end.
You should do a media, media conference at the front of the house. You can just see it already on Sky News just coming up being like,
he's
tenant finally.
Well,
finally
I can't keep
free.
It up. I think I'm going to do a video saying that I've got the place.
Yeah.
And then I want to ask for one thing. I want to like...
The new landlord.
No, I'm not fucking with the new landlord. I've signed the lease. These people, I saw their names. They're just like two people. It's like a couple. I'm staying out of it. I'm going to be the best tenant.
That's so funny. Day one, you're just like already got... What are your thoughts on climate change?
No, I mean, I'm going to do a video, but I reckon ask for something like call for a change. You know what I mean? What should the change be?
What the fuck? Are you serious?
Before the change was, ask your landlord for a reference. But I can't... In good conscience, recommend that now. Like, I got fucked.
So you want like an end note on this whole saga for yourself? Like a line in this is the end chapter done?
Well, I mean, I've got a place, so I think that is a good end chapter.
Or if you're trying to start a move, like, do you remember and we all made fun of him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to be like asking people to, you know, go into... If it happens organically and you become...
But it has happened organically.
Yeah, but I mean, are there like... You know, is there a protest being organized in your name? That's what I feel like organically. Or do you feel now that...
Protests don't happen organically.
No, protests someone organizes it, but then like your face is on there.
Totally, but I don't
want pressuring you to go and speak.
I just want... What I was thinking of asking for is like for the landlords to... start the good ones, because I get all these messages now being like, I'm a landlord and I'm like so good to my tenants, I'm one of the good ones. It's the not all men bit of landlords. I'm gonna ask them to start providing references. I think that's how it's gonna start. If they do it, then that will distinguish them from the bad landlords. You know what I mean?
What do you think a reference from a landlord would even look like? Just a previous tenant being like, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Or do you want to see their CV when they worked at Supra when they were 16?
That'd be pretty good. No, I reckon just a letter, like a professional reference letter, like, dear, to whom it may concern, I stayed in this apartment from these dates and they were very good to me as a landlord. They fixed things that were when they went wrong and I'd recommend them as a landlord.
Dude, that's not bad. And then maybe you get a few personal references as well.
That's all I'd want.
You don't want like to call to have to
I mean
call,
I'd love it all
like someone
but I
pretending to be like their cousin pretending to be like their former totally. Boss or something.
I mean, that's what we do. That's what I do exactly. But yeah, no, I don't want to ask for too many things at once. I want to make it simple. But you think that's too much like asking?
So are you just talking about another video?
Yeah. It's just one TikTok, mate.
Okay, yeah, of course. Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, what do I say?
But could you do it with like empowering music behind? You know, like, because I'm really into those inspirational videos. At that, are like, get up, you can do it, you know, in your face or whatever. And maybe you could do it and totally. Then cut it with like you, like just a collage of like you getting interviewed on the Today Show, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And being like, so I've done all of this. What I'm asking, it's for the good landlords out there. Be good. You say you're good landlords, be good. Provide a reference. Show some transparency because you know what? We won't stay silent for much longer or something like that. What do you think?
Mic drop.
That's pretty good. Mic drop.
We haven't...
And the music's building. Yeah. It's gone crazy.
This is the day in the life of a revolutionary.
Oh, yeah. Day in the life video.
Day in the life.
That'd be so funny. Day in the life of revolutionary.
On the street.
Hey, guys. I'm still unemployed, looking for a house today.
So, yeah, I walk up and down here. I knock on the door of the real estate agent. Yeah, they're not going to be in for another 2 hours, so I'm just going to sit in the gutter.
That would be a funny... you should be like, yeah, day in the life of like a cult leader or day in the life of a pedophile or something.
Yeah, so
day in the life. Hey, guys, so I wake up, I start looking for kids to kind of groom,
got,
you know.
Go on some forums, pick around. Yeah, no, not really many bites on there, so make myself some
breakfast. The neighbors well. Would love to get to know them more. They're kind of afraid of me.
Yeah, ever since that legislation came in where I need to tell them about my sexual assault list status, they have not treated me with the same respect I treat them.
No, I've gone around, I've asked for a cup of sugar recently. They didn't come to the door.
They think that that was a euphemism for something, and it was. It was.
Yeah.
And they didn't give it to me.
Yeah, cool. I think do it. Make the video. Call to arms. Maybe, you know, and then maybe that wraps up the whole chapter.
A podcast has changed my life.
Man, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.